Today on Awakened to Grace, we're in part two of a sermon called Spiritual Maturity, Check Your Attitude. Today we're talking about how an attitude, a selfish attitude, can hold us back in our spiritual growth, in our spiritual progress. Well, if you missed the previous episode, part one, I want to encourage you to go back, listen to part one, and then I think part two will continue to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. I hope that you are connecting with us on our various platforms. If you're a podcast listener, especially if you use streaming devices, well, I want to encourage you to check out our Awaken to Grace podcast. With the podcast, you can keep up every single week with the sermons that we preach from the pulpit of Preaching Christ Church. Simply tell your Alexa device or your Google device or use whatever device that you listen to your favorite podcast. Simply say, play Awaken to Grace with Chad Roberts podcast. Now let's get to today's sermon, part two, Spiritual Maturity, Check Your Attitude. You can do more of Satan's work with the tongue than any of us realize. A couple came up to a pastor one time who was gossiping, causing all kinds of problems. And the woman said, "Pastor, I just want you to know we're praying about leaving this church." The pastor looked at him and said, "Well, what a coincidence. I've been praying you'll leave too." We're in agreement. A woman came to Warren Wiersbe one time and said, "Pastor, I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar." And he said, "Lady, our altars aren't big enough. There's no room for it. There's no room for it." Now let's just address this, being on the same mind, having the same attitude. Now listen, this is just a fact, brothers, sisters. Just because you're saved, just because you have the Holy Spirit within you, just because you live by the Word of God, that doesn't mean you're going to like everybody. You know that? That doesn't mean that everyone that you serve on a team with, or everyone that you attend church with, or do an event with, or minister with, that doesn't mean you're going to like everybody. Personalities clash. Ideas clash. You can't get along with everybody. But see, this is why Paul writes to the church, and he says, bear one another. Isn't that a fascinating phrase? You realize there are some people that you just have to bear because your personalities are different. Your way of looking at things are different. But let me show you the answer to this. Let's say that right now you're serving with somebody on a team, or someone's in the church that they just irritate you. They just get under your skin. They get on your nerves. Let me tell you what you do with those people. You begin to pray for them. The old saying is very true. You don't pray for the people that you gossip about. And you don't gossip about the people that you pray for. And if you would take those people that they just irritate you a little bit, you know, they get underneath your skin, they aggravate your nerves or whatever. And if you would take those people and say, "God, I want to see them the way that you see them. I want to see the potential in them that you see the potential in them. And God, I want to begin to get a burden for them and help me to pray for them as I ought." You know what's going to begin to come out of you? Encouragement in Christ. Comfort from love. Participation in the Spirit. Affections and sympathies. And then you're going to be of the same mind. You're going to have the same love. You're going to be in full accord, and you're going to have the right attitude. Praise God. So then, notice what he says next. Let nothing be done out of self-ambition or rivalry or conceit. Don't let anything be done out of selfish ambition. But with humility,
count others more significant than yourself. How fascinating. Now again, I'm not talking about a sour, ugly attitude. I'm talking about a selfish attitude. Count others more significant than yourself. With humility, consider others more significant. That person that gets on your nerves, what if you began to commit to counting them more significant than you? What if you began to serve them? What if that coworker who just irritates you to no end, what if you go to work tomorrow and say, hey, is there anything I can help you with? Is there anything that I can do to make your day easier? With humility, you count others more significant than you. Do you know when I am the most irritable? Do you know when I'm the most touchy? You know when I'm the most cranky? Is when I'm the most selfish. And let me tell you, my friends, I spend a lot of time with God. I spend a lot of time in the Word. But let me tell you what's so easy to rise up in me. Selfishness. I just finished a book yesterday that changed my life. Many of you have probably read it. It's a classic. It's been out since 1971. I just finished reading. When I say reading, listening to the audio version. I just finished The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. If you have never read The Hiding Place, I'm telling you, it is a treasure of treasures. Corrie Ten Boom was about 50 years old when the Nazis took over Holland. Her father, Casper, was 84 years old. Her sister, Betsy, was about 57 years old. Her brother, Willem, was a bit older than her. And they had a sister, Nolly. And as a family, they hid Jews while they were being hunted down like animals. They rescued so many Jews. Oh, God used them so mightily. But they were discovered. They were arrested. They were sent to concentration camps. Betsy and Corrie Ten Boom was put into a boxcar after spending months in a concentration camp in Holland. They were put into a boxcar and carried by train into Germany, their worst fear. They were taken to a concentration camp called Ravensbrück. If you go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., which I had the privilege of going a few times, at least twice, they actually have a couple of box carts set up that you can walk into that were used to transport Jews. It's eerie. Corrie Ten Boom said that they packed 30 women into that box cart, and it was shoulder to shoulder. Before they were done, they had 80 women in that cart. She said women would faint and just stand there because no room to fall. They finally figured out a system where they would sit. They were able to get down on the ground and just cross legs over each other. And for 4 days, they were in that cart with no sanitation. They would stop once a day for water, and they'd be handed a bucket of water, but those in the front would get it all, and they never got water for 4.5 days. The sanitation, she said, the smell was so foul. You were just sick the whole time. The book was very life-changing. While she and Betsy were in this concentration camp at Ravensbrück in Germany, Betsy was dying. She told Corrie, she said, you must tell our story. The world has to hear our story. And you know what her story was? Her story, she said, is that in the deepest of pits, Christ is there deeper still. Through a clerical error, Betsy died in the concentration camp, but through a clerical error, Corrie ten Boom was released. And 1 week later, every woman was marched to the gas chamber. In God's providence, he spared her. At Ravensbrück, 96,000 women died. But Betsy took many through the doorway of heaven with her because they weren't selfish. Corrie ten Boom in this writing shared how selfishness would come to her in 100 different ways. She said that she figured out that when they would all line up for roll call, which took hours because there were thousands upon thousands of women there, and they would line up in the dead of winter with snow falling. And Corrie ten Boom said that she figured out that if she could wiggle her way to the middle, it would shield her from the wind. And the Lord would convict her about selfishness. And she would reason and say, but God, I'm doing your work here and I need to stay healthy. But no, it's selfishness. She would reason and say, the women from Poland, it's much colder. They can handle the wind. I can't. No, selfishness. She would hide a few crumbs to eat at night when no one was looking. And the Lord said, no, it's selfishness. Friends, if there were selfishness in a concentration camp like that for Corrie ten Boom, what should you and I be on the lookout for in our lives? How many hundreds of ways does selfishness creep in into our daily spiritual walk? And this is why you and I need this remedy so desperately bad, that do nothing out of selfish ambition, do nothing out of conceit, but with humility count others more significant than yourself. So that person at work that irritates you, that person on the ministry team that irritates you, that person you go to church with that irritates you, what would happen if you humbled yourself and began to serve them and began to count them and their needs more significant than yours? Some of you are in very difficult home lives. Some of you deal with ex-husbands and ex-wives, and you deal with step-parents, and you deal with step-children, and some of you are in very difficult situations. But what would happen if you began to count them more significant than yourself? Some of you are not treated fairly. Some of you are dumped on. Some of you are taken advantage of. But what would happen if you turned the tables on the devil and you began to count them more significant than you? And then, just like the Bible always does, it puts our eyes on Jesus. Just in case you think you can't do that. Just in case you think what I'm proposing is absolutely impossible as well as preposterous. The Bible says, look at him who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But what did Jesus do? But he emptied himself, coming in the form of a servant, in the likeness of man. He humbled himself to the point of obedience, even the death of the cross. See, what I want you to understand today is if the Bible tells you and if the Bible tells me, humble yourself with humility, count others more significant than you, the Bible is not asking us to do something that Christ cannot empower us to do. For Christ did it himself. Make the link. We are with humility to count others more significant. And how did Christ come in the form of a servant, in the likeness of man? He humbled himself. And let me tell you, my friends, God will share with you his great humility. And the things that feel impossible, and the things that you think you can't do, no, you walk under the humility of God. You walk in the power of God. You walk in the authority of God's word, and no, you'll find it works. And then what will begin to come out of you is not pride, is not selfish ambition, is not conceit and arrogance and self-centeredness. No, what will come out of you is encouragement in Christ, comfort of love, participation of the Spirit, affections and sympathies. You'll have the same mind. You have the same love, you'll be in full accord, and you'll have the right attitude in your life. And then, because you're chosen for salvation, because you're growing up into salvation, you will begin to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you'll come to this place where, in all of your spiritual progress, Satan will not be able to hinder you. That's where I want to be. I want to follow the example of Christ. And what is the example of Christ? Is the fact that he wrapped himself in great humility and came to this earth. And he taught us how to count others more significant than ourselves. If you want to work out your salvation and continue explosive growth in Christ, begin to count others more significant than yourself. Ask God to search you and try you and know your ways. Ask God to shine the light of his word to detect selfishness, self-centeredness. Begin to serve the people around you. Some of you right now, your marriage is a bit tense. Some of you right now, you're just not in a great place. Let me tell you what to do. Begin to serve one another. Serve each other. Count your spouse more significant than you. Some of you work with irritating people. Some people work with you and you're the irritating person. We'll let the Lord show you that. You know, there's two kinds of people in the world. There are those that everybody's glad when they walk into a room. And then there are those who are glad, everybody's glad when they walk out of a room. Which are you? You know what probably determines that? Whether people are glad when you walk into a room or they are glad when you walk out of a room. You know what probably determines it? Your attitude. And Jesus says, let this mind be in you. Let this attitude be yours that was in Christ. That you're filled with humility. That you serve others. That you count others more significant than even yourself. Will you bow your heads with me today? I don't work with you. I don't live with you. I don't know if you struggle in this area, but I bet if you're like me, I bet selfishness shows itself in 100 different ways. God, help me to see it. Oh, I can see my rotten attitude. People can see that from a mile away. But what we so often don't see is our selfishness. And God, what we don't want to do is love you with our whole hearts. Drink the milk of your word. Eat the solid food of your word. And then our attitude get in the way. Oh, what a tragedy. No, God, we want to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We want this mind to be in us that was in Christ our Lord. So Jesus, today we choose humility. We choose it. Where there's pride, squash it in the name of the Lord. Where there's conceit, where there is selfishness, where there's unforgiveness, God, we let those things go in Jesus' name. The people in our lives that are the hardest to love, the people in our lives that are the hardest to get along with, the people in our lives that are irrational, hard-headed, the people who would take advantage of us, the people who would use us, the people who would never return kindness to us. Let us count them more significant than ourselves. Let this be the greatest Christmas that we've ever had. Not because of what we get, but because of what we give. Some of the greatest gifts. Hear me, church. I'm going to give you a word through the Holy Spirit right now. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying this crystal clear. For some of you, the greatest gifts you'll give this year, you'll not buy online. You'll not buy with a credit card. The greatest gifts will be humility, thankfulness, forgiveness, kindness. I can hear the Lord. He's speaking to somebody. There's an ex, and they don't deserve your kindness, but the Lord's telling you to give it to them. They don't deserve your forgiveness. But the Lord is saying, give it to them. Don't try to follow God. Don't try to love His word and feast on His word and let the attitude get in the way. Don't grow in Christ and then be halted because there's an attitude of unforgiveness. No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You did not deserve what Christ did for you. And my precious friend, they don't deserve what you're going to do for them. But that's why it's called grace. Why don't you make the greatest gift you give this year the grace of God? Count others more significant. Oh, how God will use you, and how the encouragement in Christ will come out of you. Comfort from love will come out of you. Participation in the Spirit will come out of you. Affections and sympathies will pour out of you, and you will glorify God better than the most talented person on the earth today. Lord, I love you so much. I love your word. I love its principles. I love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Give all of our families a wonderful Christmas this week. Thank you, God, for your inexpressible gift, Jesus Christ. In your name I pray.